ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रयेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नष्टिके। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 50, text number 5 and 6. The chapter entitled Krishna Establishes Dwarka. Nirikshatad Bhalam Krishna.
Nirikshatad Bhalam Krishna.
Udvelam Iva Sagaram.
Udvelam Iva Sagaram.
Svapuram Tena Sambudham.
Svapuram Tena Sambudham.
Svajanam Sabhayakulam.
Svajanam Sabhayakulam.
Nirikshyatad Bhalam Krishna.
Nirikshyatad Bhalam Krishna.
Udvelam Iva Sagaram.
Udvelam Iva Sagaram.
Svapuram Tena Samrudham.
Svapuram Tena Samrudham.
Svajanam Cha Bhayakulam.
Svajanam Cha Bhayakulam.
Nirikshyatad Bhalam Krishna.
Nirikshyatad Bhalam Krishna.
Udvelam Iva Sagaram.
Udvelam Iva Sagaram.
Svaputram Tena Samrudham.
Svapuram Tena Samrudham.
Svajanam cha bhayakulam.
Svajanam cha bhayakulam.
Tat,
that
of him Jarasandha,
of him Jarasandha.
Balam,
Balam,
the military force,
the military force.
Krishna,
Krishna,
Lord Krishna,
Krishna.
Udvelam,
Udvelam,
having overflowed its boundaries,
boundaries.
Iva,
Iva,
like,
like.
Sagaram,
Sagaram,
an ocean.
Sva,
his own.
Puram,
city. Matura,
Tena,
Bait.
Samrudham,
besieged.
Svajanam,
his subjects.
Cha,
and.
Bhaya,
by fear. Akulam, disturbed. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Although Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original cause of this world, when he descended to the earth, he played the role of a human being. Thus, when he saw Jarasandha's assembled army surrounding his city like a great ocean overflowing its shores, and when he saw how this army was striking fear into his subjects, the Lord considered what his suitable response should be according to the time, place, and specific purpose of his current incarnations. Purport? Can you repeat after me? Although Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original cause of this world, when he descended to the earth,
he played the role of a human being.
Thus, when he saw Jarasandha's assembled army
surrounding his city like a great ocean
overflowing its shores.
And
when he saw how this army was striking fear into his subjects, the Lord considered what his suitable response should be according to the time,
place,
and specific purpose of his current incarnation. Purport. The Acharyas point out that the Supreme Godhead
did not have to worry about a mortal attack from Jarasandha and his soldiers. But as stated here, Sri Krishna was playing the part of a human being, Karuna Manushaha, and he played the part very well. This play is called, who can say what is this play called? Leela. This play is called Leela, the Lord's enactment of spiritual pastimes for the pleasure of his devotees. Although ordinarily persons may be dumbfounded by the Lord's pastimes, the devotees derive tremendous pleasure from his inimitable style of behavior. Thus, Srila Srira Swami points out that Sri Krishna taught as follows. How should I defeat Jarasandha? Should I kill the army, but not Jarasandha? Or should I kill Jarasandha and take the army for myself? Or perhaps I should just kill both of them? Lord Krishna's conclusion is described in the following verse. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Niditamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabradhantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamitam Shah. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatvate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Chiranjeevi Prabhu was supposed to give class, but he mentioned that he had some physical problems, so he couldn't come to today's class. So on behalf of him, I'll give the lecture. This pastime, this chapter in itself, Krishna establishes Dwarka, is a very, very interesting, very, very nice chapter to read. We can see, obviously, there are two kinds of people in this world. There is the devas or the demigods, and there are the demons. Who are the demigods? Prabhupada mentioned today's lecture I was hearing in his cassette. He was explaining that devas are those who are devotees of Krishna, and demons who are not devotees of Krishna. So there are only two classes of people in this entire creation. So the demons endeavor somehow or other to annihilate the existence of Krishna, somehow or other. Whereas the devotees always glorify Krishna's existence, always glorifies Krishna's beautiful pastimes he enacts. Obviously, the purpose of this material creation, or the purpose of Maya, or you can say Durga, she is a great devotee of Krishna, but she has a special favor to offer to Krishna, special service she offers to Krishna. This service, generally no one takes it. She tries to bewilder the living entities in this world and make them forget who Krishna is, their loving, spiritual person, father or sons, or accordingly, whatever the relationship may be. So that is the duty of Maya. The duty of Maya is to somehow or other get the living entities taken away from Krishna. Somehow or other. Obviously, Srila Prabhupada, he established this ISKCON, this Krishna Conscious Society, for one purpose. To bring the bewildered living entities, or the conditioned living entities, back to their original Krishna consciousness. That is the whole purpose. If one practices this Krishna consciousness collectively, obviously there's a great impact in it, or there's a great potentiality. But we know, if Krishna consciousness is practiced by one's own self, by one's own endeavor, without the help of the devotees, that's a great struggle. Why? Because Maya is trying to enact, or Maya is trying to fulfill Krishna's desire, or Maya is trying to render service to Krishna accordingly. The living entities want to forget Krishna, so that's why Krishna introduces or establishes Maya in this world, where living entities can forget Krishna. It is not Krishna's choice, it is the living entity's choice. So that's why Maya is there. So what does Maya do? Maya in this world tries to bring every living entity, Maya wants to take every living entity away from Krishna as far as possible. So somehow or other, Maya will try to penetrate the Krishna Conscious Society established by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada would say this Krishna Consciousness is Krishna himself. So somehow or other, because especially age of Kali, Kali sees the Krishna Consciousness as a great threat. So Kali and Maya, with their full endeavor, will try to somehow or other diminish Krishna Consciousness. Somehow or other. Obviously, Srila Prabhupada explains how nothing in this world, nothing external in this world can destroy Krishna Consciousness. Why? Because Krishna is the most powerful personality. Who can defeat Krishna? Who knows this beautiful verse? In Daivi Hesha Gunamai? Can you say it clear? Who knows the translation over here? Please tell. Yeah, very nice. So, Krishna says, my Maya, or this Daivi, or Daivi Shakti, or you can say the Yoga, or Durga, she is my energy. And she is very, very powerful. It's very difficult to overcome her. Very difficult, by one's own endeavor. But Krishna says, one who has taken shelter of me can easily, very easily overcome this material energy. So easily. Because Krishna is most powerful. So Srila Prabhupada said, there's nothing external that can destroy this Krishna consciousness. Nothing external. Obviously, Maya has her own tricks. So what does Maya do? Maya can understand that nothing external can destroy Krishna consciousness. So Maya tries to bring about disruption within the community itself. Or somehow Maya creeps in. You can say Maya is the greatest terrorist attacker. You know how the Twin Towers in New York were blown by the terrorists, even though America had such high defense power, but they were not able to check the terrorists to destroy the Twin Towers. Similarly, Maya is so powerful. What does Maya do? Maya will come within in the form of a devotee in the community and bring about disruption somehow or other. Maya can come in the form of anger in the body of a devotee, or Maya could come as receiving or desiring prestige or adoration in the form of a devotee. That causes disruption. Somehow or other, Maya does it. She's expert. She knows how to do it. But if one sincerely takes shelter of Krishna in the form of his devotees, then obviously one is very, very, one will be very, very well protected. If one follows one's spiritual master or founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada very sincerely, obviously you can check the attacks of Maya. Prabhupada said, your love for me can be shown how much you cooperate amongst each other. Obviously, everyone is individual. Everyone has different agendas to please Krishna. But one should collectively try to please Krishna with whatever different agendas they have. This is how you can show your love to Srila Prabhupada. Obviously, Nectar of Instruction, it explains how a devotee in the association of devotees, they perform devotional service with great enthusiasm. What does Srila Prabhupada say about enthusiasm? It's very nice. He explains enthusiasm as follows. He says, endeavor executed with intelligence. So enthusiasm doesn't mean, you know, you're like fanatic. You know, we see so many fanatics in different religions. In the name of God, we should do this. But they don't use their intelligence. This is not considered intelligence according to Srila Prabhupada. Endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha or enthusiasm. So this is one of the special aspect a devotee has, and obviously he has nishchayat. What is nishchayat? Who can say what is nishchayat mean?
Determination.
Yes, determination or confidence, as Matiji says, confidence in one's endeavor in Krishna consciousness, and dhairyat. What is dhairyat? Patience. So one should not seek the results of devotional service immediately. Rupa Goswami gives such a wonderful example how if a husband impregnates the wife, you cannot expect the child within a day. You have to wait for 9 months. Similarly, one should be patient when they perform devotional service. And so forth. One should acquire these qualities to perfect one's devotional service. Obviously, the other personality, we say the demons, they also have these qualities. They have full enthusiasm. They have full determination. And they're even patient. In this pastime, it will perfectly show how Jarasandha actually has taken those qualities. What are those qualities? Full enthusiasm. Man, Jarasandha got the news from his daughter, Asti and Prapti, that Krishna mercilessly killed Kamsa, his dear son-in-law. He got really outrageous. So he was very enthusiastic to somehow or other kill Krishna. This is one of the claims of the demons. They want to annihilate Krishna's existence somehow or other. So Jarasandha with full enthusiasm. He gathered up huge number of army. As explained here. How big is the army? Who can remember what we just read over here? Like an ocean? Overflowing of ocean. That how big the army was. Overflowing ocean. So Jarasandha, so enthusiastic to kill Krishna and Balaram somehow or other. So he gathered an army which was an overflowing of soldiers. Overflowing ocean. Like when the tsunami took place. Killed so many people because the waves went 5 kilometers in the land, on the surface of the land. So the ocean overflowed its limits, you can say, and caused so much disaster. So Jarasandha brought an army equivalent to that of an overflowing of an ocean. And he was very determined. We'll read in the following chapters how he was defeated. But he was so determined, and he was even patient. He was very patient. He brought the same number of army again and again, 17 times, again and again. And he was very patient to kill Krishna Balaram or to somehow defeat Krishna Balaram. In fact, we'll read even in the later portion of the chapter, he explains because how Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. Krishna kidnaps Rukmini and takes Rukmini to Dwarka. Rukmini was to get married to Shishupal. So they had a big war, and obviously Jarasandha's army lost. So Jarasandha tried to pacify Shishupal. So how did he pacify Shishupal? He said to Shishupal, "Oh Shishupal, you should understand, time is not ripe yet. I myself fought with Krishna and Balaram 17 times, but I got defeated. But finally, at the 18th time when I fought against him, he lost." So that's how Jarasandha conveyed to Shishupal, "You should be patient." So we know, even demons, they are very enthusiastic in what they do. They are very determined. And they may even be very patient. So, demons, even though they fail so many times, they don't lose hope. So it gives us hope as devotees. It gives us hope. Okay, why not we be Krishna conscious somehow or other? How do we keep that hope? This hope is kept perfectly by the association of devotees, by the loving exchange of the devotees. This is how we keep strong hope in our Krishna consciousness, and this is how we can combat Kali or even Maya. Or it's very, very difficult to combat Maya. Well, Lord Ramachandra's appearance day is coming very, very soon, so it's a meditation we can have weeks in advance, of how Lord Ramachandra, many people in those era, they saw Lord Ramachandra as a mere human being, as in Dwapara Yuga, when Jarasandha was there, they saw Krishna as a mere human being. Similarly, Lord Ramachandra is seen as mere human being, but he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He shows in his pastimes how by collective endeavor, by loving relationship of devotees and collective endeavor with full determination and enthusiasm, one can achieve greatest benediction of one's human form of life. He will show in this pastime. This pastime is not very well known, but this pastime is mentioned in Valmiki Ramayana. It's not told very much. So I'll tell you this pastime. When Lord Ramachandra, he was building, he gathered the monkey army and everyone to build the bridge. So everyone with great enthusiasm, with full determination. They were building the bridge so that they could build the bridge to cross over to Lanka and kill Ravana. Even to the extent, even a spider, a little spider, the little spider also desired to join in with Hanuman and the other monkeys. So with whatever capability, the little spider was taking a grain of sand and putting in the ocean. Hanuman, he was carrying big boulders of mountain, peaks of hills and so forth, and pouring it in the ocean. When he saw that this little spider was on his way, Hanuman said to this little spider, "Please don't obstruct my way. You should move. You should know that I'm trying to build a bridge." The spider was left down. So when Ramachandra witnessed that Hanuman was disrupting the little spider's service, so Ramachandra came and said to Hanuman, "Hanuman, you're pleasing me as much as the spider is pleasing me. You have a mighty body, you can carry big boulders and you can pour it in the ocean. The little spider has little body but can carry a grain of sand. But the service the spider is rendering to me and the service you're rendering to me is pleasing me. So please don't disrupt him." So we can see how Lord Ramachandra encouraged the collectiveness of each and every individual to render service. And then later on, how Ramachandra built the beautiful, Hanuman and the monkeys built a beautiful bridge. They crossed over to Lanka, and there was a few other pastimes taking place. Ramachandra wanted to make peace treaty with Ravana, so he sent monkeys and Angada, the smallest of the monkey. Even then, Ravana didn't agree with the peace treaty. So Ramachandra declared that there's going to be a war. But he said the war will be taking place the next day. That was a great dilemma for this, because they had to stay overnight. So Vibhishan was concerned. Vibhishan was the brother of Ravana, but he was a great devotee of Lord Ram. Vibhishan was in great concern. Vibhishan was thinking, well, when night falls, then the demons are very, very powerful. They will do anything to annihilate Lord Rama and Lord Lakshman. So I should try to protect Lord Ram and protect Lord Lakshman somehow or other. So what did Vibhishan do? Vibhishan conveyed this message to Hanuman. He said to Hanuman, "Oh Hanuman, you must do something." Vibhishan gave him the idea. Vibhishan said, "You should make a camp out of your tail." Or in other words, you need to make a nice tent where Lord Ram can be protected inside with the monkeys. So Hanuman said, "No problem." He had that benediction which he got from many demigods when he gobbled up the sun. All the 33 million demigods offered him different benediction. So he was able to expand his tail. So he expanded his tail such a way he built a big tower, you can say. He built a beautiful camp, you can say, where Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman was within. And and Vibhishan organized four armies to guard four directions. So he organized Jambavan for one direction, Sugriva, Angada, and one more personality, Nila, to guard the four directions inside the camp, so that the demons will not get in somehow or other. And in order to enter into the camp, it would be very, very difficult task. What they had to do is, they had to actually enter into the ear of Hanuman. They had to enter into the year of Hanuman, come into the mouth, and go towards the backbone of on the neck of Hanuman, and there's a straight connection over the bone, has a straight connection from there, go through the tail, and the tail, and obviously there's a small entrance, then you can get inside the camp, and then you can capture Lord Ram and Lakshman. So Ravana, he was in great anxiety, because he knew that Ravana, just before, and there was a monkey, the monkey came and burned the whole Lanka. So Hanuman, Ravana was in great anxiety. He was wondering, how could I kill Ram and Lakshman? So he tried to seek so much help. He went to Vibhishan. Obviously Vibhishan said, no. I don't want to get in trouble. I know how in your previous life as Hiranyakashipu, you got in big trouble. I don't want to get in. So Ravana was in great anxiety. So he had a very, very dear brother. He had a very good friend. Just by thinking of him, he was able to come. It is explained, there are four things, if you think of, they will come to you. If you think of the ghosts or the demons, they will come to you, especially at night time. If you think about snakes, they will come to you. If you think about the opposite sex, they will come to you. And there's one more, I don't remember. Oh, the Brahma Rakshasas. If you remember Brahma Rakshasas and the other Rakshasas, they will come to you. Especially if you talk about them, they will come to you. It is explained that if one scratches the metal, like if you get a spoon and hit the bowl, it actually breaks the ether. And upon breaking that ether, it makes a passageway for the ghost to come in. You're welcoming the ghost. If you scratch the ground, it is also causing for the ghost to come. And it, like, for example, we have the car race going. So that is breaking the ether. And that is attracting so many ghosts. So, Ravana, he was able to think of Mahiravana, his brother, and Mahiravana immediately came. That's how Mahiravana came. And when Mahiravana met Ravana, Ravana said, I'm in great anxiety. I'm in great difficulty. And then Mahiravana said, What is it? Why are you in great difficulty? And Ravana said, there are the two human beings, Ram and Lakshman, and there are the monkeys. Mahiravana said, yes, I saw them on the way. I saw a camp made out of tail. Are they here to crack up some jokes for you? Ravana said, no, you don't understand. They're here to kill me. Mahiravana said, oh, don't worry, I can take care of them. Mahiravana had such great power. He was so powerful, it is explained that if you try to kill Mahiravana, you couldn't kill Mahiravana. That's how powerful he was. If you tore his body into thousands of bits and threw it in thousands of directions, still he wouldn't be killed. All the portion of the body would be joined together. Just as in this pastime, we know how Jarasandha, he was so powerful. Why was he powerful? Even if you killed him, he wouldn't be killed. If you tore him apart, he wouldn't be killed. As Sri Yuga Prabhu explained yesterday, the story of how Jarasandha was born. He was born by a sage, by the benediction given by the sage to the king's wives. If they ate the mango, then they would bear a son. Obviously, the king had two wives, and they usually quarrel. So the king divided the mango, and the queens ate half the mango, and they got half the child. The child with one portion of the nose, and the child with one portion of the mouth, so forth. So the king and the queens, they saw this waste. So they put him in the jungle, threw him in the jungle. And there was a witch named Jara. The witch named Jara came and joined the child. That's why his name became Jarasandha, one who was joined by Jara, the witch named Jara. So Mahiravana, he was so powerful that even if you killed him, if you tore his body in thousands of bits and threw it in thousands of different directions, he wouldn't be killed. He was so powerful that in order to kill him, you had to do three things. One, first, you had to blow the five lamps. This five lamp was situated in Himalayas region, in a hidden region in Himalaya, where the peak was covered in ice glacier. Inside the cave were the five lamps, which were protected by five different snakes. But these snakes were put by Mahiravana. They were not actually snakes, but they were magical snakes. These snakes were so powerful, you can say, that if anyone entered into that cave, they would spit poison and you would be dead. Or anyone who came around 100 kilometer, 200 kilometer radius, they would be dead by the smell of the poison. So first thing you had to do is you had to blow those five lamps. Secondly, what you had to do to kill Mahiravana was to crush the diamond, which was kept secretly in Mahipur, the kingdom of Mahiravana. Thirdly, there had to be someone to shoot an arrow and hit at the chest of Mahiravana. So you can see how demons try their greatest endeavor to protect their existence. But with the very same endeavor, they will also try to annihilate the existence of Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're very clever. They can do this. They try to do this. So Mahiravana said, "No problem. I will take care of it." So he returned back. He said to Ravana, by 12 o'clock, now it's 4 o'clock in the morning. By 12 o'clock night, I'll make sure that Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman are beheaded in front of Kali. And with that blood, I'll give it to you and you can drink it with your wine. Obviously, Ravana was very, very proud. He was very happy. He said, "Wow, you're my brother." He said, "That Vibhishan, he's not my brother. Because he betrayed me. But you are my brother because you're doing what I like to do. You're doing what will please me." So anyway, Mahiravana was offered great gifts by Ravana. And so Mahiravana went to his kingdom, to Mahipur. When he went to Mahipur, he conveyed this message to his wife. He said to his wife, "I have offered 999 princes to Mother Kali. I have to just offer one more prince, then Kali will give me a benediction." He said, "I got a good news." He said, "I got two princes. And obviously, we know how the wife of Mahiravana was very happy. He said, "Yeah, who is these princes?" Then he said, "They are the sons of Dasharath, Ram and Lakshman. I'm going to offer them to Kali." And the wife said, "You don't know what you're getting into. You're getting into big mess. Don't do this." The wife said, "You're not an enemy of Ram and Lakshman. It is Ravana's problem with Ram Lakshman. You don't get involved in this." He said that Narada Muni came and he told me that Ram will kill Ravana and that a monkey will come into your city and he will kill you. So please don't get into this mess. Don't get into this mess whatsoever. Why was Mahiravana's wife able to say this? Because she was from the snake family. Generally, snake families, they are worshippers of Krishna, Vishnu. So they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahiravana was boastful. He said, "You don't know who I am. I wonder why I got married to a snake dynasty." That's why he said, better to get married to one's own dynasty. If I got married to a demon's dynasty, a demon wife, obviously she will agree with what I do. But because I got married to you, that's a big problem. Mahiravana said, "I am the Lord of Mahipur. No one can conquer me here. So what can this Ram and Lakshman do?" And the wife said, "You don't know. This Ram and Lakshman, they are not the Lord of Mahipur only. They are the Lord of entire creation. You're getting into big trouble." So Mahiravana, in disgust, he left her and he went to his ministers and he conveyed the message. Said to the minister and told his plans. Obviously the ministers, they were demons. So what did they do? They started clapping their hands. "Yes, well done. You'll do a great job." Obviously, if you have demon associates, they will support demons. That is natural. So they clapped their hands to support Mahiravana. So Mahiravana got four special ministers, four special assistants. Their name were Sarva Prana, Chatur, and Sadhya Dushmati. So he took them to where the camp was, in a hidden area. So he first sent Chatur, because Chatur said, I can get Ram and Lakshman, no problem. So Chatur, he said, "You just give me a box, I'll get Ram and Lakshman." So Mahiravana gave him a box so that they could capture Ram and Lakshman. So Chatur went to grab Ram and Lakshman. But he saw that Vibhishan was outside of the camp and Hanuman was also outside of the camp. They both were guarding the camp so no one could enter inside. Vibhishan was walking one side, Hanuman was walking on another side. So he thought, "Oh, okay." So he went and looked all around, but still he couldn't find where he could enter inside the camp. So obviously Chatur said, "No, I don't want to do it." And he had a close look. He saw that the tail was very, very thick and it would be very difficult to penetrate in. So he went back and he said to Mahiravana, no, I don't want to get into this mess. I don't want to do this." Obviously, Sadhya, the second person, he was very boastful. He said, "Huh? You? You're useless. You're a wimp. You can't do it. I will go and do it." So Sadhya had he was very powerful. When he came to the camp, he saw that there was no gap, so he went and started flying to find a hole where he could enter inside the camp. Obviously, Hanuman, he was so powerful, the tail was continuously increasing. So he went where the stars were, but he couldn't find where he could enter inside the camp. So he saw the tail was still higher. So he went to where the moon was. Still he couldn't find. He went to Satyaloka where Lord Brahma was. Still the tail was there. Because Hanuman, he is an empowered devotee of the Lord. He was able to do this. Nothing surprising. So Sadhya gave up hope. He came down. He wanted to penetrate inside the tail. Hanuman, obviously, he felt something itching sensation. He was wondering, who is that? So he opened a little gap where the demon thought, "Now I can just try and look inside what is going on inside there." So he stuck his head inside. Hanuman immediately caught him between his tail. And the monkeys, they were awake inside, guarding Ram. They were singing the glories of Lord Ramachandra. They were having great fun inside. When they saw the demon, they started coming and they started teasing the demon, slapping him here and there, cutting off his nose, little bit of his eyelashes, and making his face bruised up. And the demon was screaming for his life. So the demon plead, and Hanuman said, okay, we had enough fun, now he let him loose. So he came, and my Ravana saw the demon. He said, what happened to your face? You look very funny. So he thought, this assistance of mine, they cannot do this. He said, better I go and do it myself. Obviously, Mahiravana was very intelligent. He was very powerful. So what did Mahiravana do? He took a form of Vibhishan. Because Vibhishan just crossed over Hanuman. He was going around the camp guarding. So when he just crossed over, Mahiravana taking the form of Vibhishan, started running to Hanuman, saying, Hanuman, Hanuman, there must be some problem inside the tent. I should go and check it. Maybe Ram and Lakshman are not safe. Hanuman said, yeah, no problem. You can go and check. But then Mahiravan and the guys of Vibhishan said, make sure that if Ravana could come, Ravana could disguise himself as Vibhishan. Make sure before you let him enter inside you, you give him a hard time. Don't let him inside. So Hanuman said, no problem. So he entered inside Hanuman's ears and did the whatever procedure one had to do to go inside the camp. When he came inside, by his power, he was able to keep everyone asleep. Obviously, this is to enact Krishna, Lord Ramachandra's pastime. Lord Ram is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not a human being. But just so in order that the pastime be relished by his devotees, he was so-called under the spell of Mahiravana. So Mahiravana grabbed Ram and Lakshman. And he was such a mystic yogi. He was a powerful yogi. So what did he do? With one breath, he was able to cross over the camp and go to his kingdom, Mahipur. That was his power. So just to make it short. So anyway, Vibhishan came and Hanuman was surprised. He said, you were inside, what are you doing outside here? You told me that you're going in. And Vibhishan said, now you're in big trouble. He said, Vibhishan could understand that it was this was a tactful plan of Mahiravana. So Vibhishan said, we better do something inside. So Hanuman went and he saw that Ram and Lakshman was missing, and everyone inside in the camp were crying out because Ram and Lakshman disappeared. So Vibhishan said, now I'm going to commit suicide because Lord Ram and Lakshman is not here. Hanuman said, no, you should not do this. You have all the confidential secrets. If you die, who can help us? So, understanding that he had to be still alive to render service to Lord Ram in order to rescue Lord Ram, so he told Hanuman everything about Mahipur and all about Mahiravana. So Hanuman, he flew over the ocean and he followed Vibhishan's instruction. He came to a place where there were so many lotus flowers. So many lotus flowers. And one particular lotus flower, which was the biggest lotus flower, he was to enter inside, but it's closed. But he forgot to ask Vibhishan. Vibhishan told him a specific mantra he had to chant, but he forgot it. Said, I forgot to ask Vibhishan how to get inside. So he thought, time is running short, so now I should do something. He was enthusiastic. He endeavored with great confidence. But at the same time, his enthusiasm was with intelligence, as Prabhupada explains. Enthusiasm should be used with one's intelligence. So he prayed to his father, Vayu. Vayu came and appeared. And Vayu said, "What is the problem?" And he said, "This is the problem." Vayu said, "You don't know? I am wind god. I have the facility with the air, I'm able to open the lotus." So he did that. So Hanuman entered inside the lotus flower. When he jumped inside, he fell right next to a well. This well was considered a wish-fulfilling well, so a special well. Because people used to get water, and with that water they used to go and offer to Goddess Kali and seek whatever desires they wanted. And he saw that region, it was very, very beautiful. The surroundings were very beautiful, and he was thinking, "I wonder what it is like inside the kingdom itself. If the outside boundary is beautiful, what is inside itself?" So he was wondering how to get inside. And he saw lots of demons guarding, 200,000 demons guarding a fort. This fort was made out of bricks. So Hanuman was wondering, "How can I get inside?" And besides there was someone was saying, "Please use me as an instrument to kill the demons." Hanuman was thinking, "Who is this?" He was wondering, who was it? So he looked behind, it was a big tree. This tree was telling, "I am a demigod." And he said, Narada Muni said that he cursed me to be a tree, but he told me I'll be a useful tree. He told me when a monkey comes, Hanuman comes, you should make sure that you ask him to use me as an instrument to kill the demons. So Hanuman said, "Well, that's very good." So he took that tree, and because the demons were all in one portion, they were not spread out, so it was easy for Hanuman to kill. So he easily killed the demons. And then he went inside the brick fort, and he went to a next fort. This fort was made out of brass. And the number of demons were to double the amount. So there were 400,000 demons. So Hanuman was thinking, "How can I kill these demons now?" So Hanuman had the power. He expanded his hand so big, although his size remained the same. He got all those demons and killed them, squashed them up. And then he entered into another fort. This fort was a copper fort. So, and the demons multiplied double the amount to what was there in the brass fort. So Hanuman, in order to kill those demons, he expanded himself. And when he expanded, just by breathing, he killed all the demons. Just by his breathing. And then later on, he entered inside the white metal fort. Hanuman, he was very, very angry by then. So when he entered into the white metal fort, there was one particular demon. This demon was able to spell all illusions. So this demon, he created a thunderstorm wherein which rain started coming. Along with the rain, all the urine and stool started coming. Obviously, Hanuman was very angry with his rage. He was able to dispel the illusion. And when the demon illusion was destroyed, he caught that demon and killed him. And all the soldiers were afraid of Hanuman. They started running away. So Hanuman grabbed them and killed them also. Next fort, the last fort he had to enter was the bell metal fort. When he entered the bell metal fort, the number of the army was bigger. He got so angry that the whole bell metal got melted. Obviously, when the fort got melted, even the demons got melted. They got burnt up. So he was able to cross all those forts. And finally, he came to a beautiful golden gate. But in the golden gate, he saw a big machine. And that machine, if you entered, that will dictate whether you are a friend of Mahiravana or whether you are a friend or an enemy of Mahiravana. So if you enter inside that gate, it will mention, okay, 30 degree or 20 degree or 180 degree or 360 degree. 360 is your real big enemy. So Hanuman was thinking, now how am I going to get inside here? So Hanuman sat on a tree. He was waiting for someone. Mahiravana had one sister. His sister name was Duratandi. So the sister had a child, and when the child was born, there was a voice from the sky. Just like Kamsa had a voice from the sky, similarly, there was a voice from the sky. The voice from the sky said that this child will become the king after Mahiravana dies. Obviously, Mahiravana was very disturbed when he heard this. He got angry. So what did he do? Just as Kamsa, he took his sister and his son, Nilamega, and threw him into the jail. Shackled him up, shackled his hands and legs, everything. But this Duratandi, or the sister of Mahiravana, had a special service in there. Mahiravana, in order to make sure that any rituals or the sacrifice would become successful, he would actually ask Duratandi to go to the original well where Hanuman first landed and collect some water from there and use it for Abhishek and so forth so that the ceremony can be successful. Now they needed Duratandi to do this ceremony, to get the water, to sacrifice Lord Ram and Lakshman. Obviously, Duratandi didn't like Mahiravana because she saw Mahiravana very cruel. And she was cursing, obviously, Mahiravana asked. So what did they do? They freed up Duratandi's hand and legs so Duratandi could collect water. When she came to the well, her hands were free and she collected water. So she was about to go through the golden gate. Obviously Hanuman heard that Duratandi was cursing Mahiravana like anything. So Hanuman took this as an opportunity. So Hanuman said, "Please can I come enter inside your pot?" Hanuman said, "I will become really small and just put a mango leaf inside and I'll go inside." And Duratandi said, "No, if you cross it, then they will know that you are an enemy." Hanuman said, "You are also an enemy of Mahiravana, so don't worry." He said, "I'll make some tricks, and then somehow or other I'll get in. I want to kill Mahiravana," because he was very angry with what he did. So Duratandi took Hanuman, who was in the mango leaf inside the pot of water. He took inside, and the demons were guarding. They saw the machine immediately went bizarre, because Hanuman in the beginning said, I will try be a friend of Mahiravana so they will not find." Obviously, he's not a friend of Mahiravana. He's an enemy of Mahiravana. So he entered. The machine didn't work. The demons were wondering what's going on. "Duratandi, you are an enemy of Mahiravana, we understand. But you were not that much, and you didn't show that much animosity to my Ravana. How come now the machine doesn't show exact numbers? So he checked, they checked all over, they couldn't find anything. So they say, come back. So they fixed the machine up, and they said, now you enter in. And so she entered in, and the machine broke. This time. And the demons were wondering, what's going on? There's some big problem here. So demons stopped her, and Hanuman immediately came out and said, I am an enemy of Mahiravana, and started killing all those demons, and he went inside. And he asked Duryodhana, now what should I do? Duryodhana said, there are the 10 camps which surround Mahiravana's place. You should kill all those ministers. So Hanuman said, no problem. So Hanuman increased his tail, went inside the house, and the husband was talking with the wife. The husband saying, oh, your face is beautiful like the moon. And the wife was saying to the husband, oh, your face is beautiful like the sun. While they were saying all these words, praising words, Hanuman brought his tail and killed the demons. So like this, he killed all of those demons in those 10 camps. And then Hanuman said, now what should I do? And now, obviously, Duryodhana said, now you can try kill Mahiravana. So he confronted Mahiravana. Hanuman was so powerful, he punched him out. But still, he fell unconscious. But then, when he said, Jai Shri Ram, immediately he came back to life. So again and again, he tried to kill him, but he failed. So then Mahiravana, at one time, he ran away from Hanuman. Hanuman tried to catch him, but he couldn't. So he ran. Mahiravana, and then Hanuman said, what should I do now? To Duryodhana. Duryodhana said, Hanuman is trying to do a yagya by which a demon, Brahma Rakshasa, can come and kill you. So Hanuman said, should I go and fight and kill the demon? Then actually the demon came, started, and Duryodhana said, no, don't, it's a waste of time to go and kill the Brahma Rakshasa. Time is running out, so you better go and contaminate the yagya. Then the demon will be finished. So Hanuman thought, wow, now I have a bit of fun. So he went over and started passing water inside the yagya. And that's how the yagya was destroyed and the demon dead. So then Hanuman said, now what, I don't know what to do. So Duryodhana said, actually, this Mahiravana is a very difficult person to kill. You have to do these three things. So that means you had to break the diamond, you had to blow off this fire. At the same time, you have to kill Mahiravana by shooting an arrow on his chest. So Hanuman met Ram and Lakshman. They were beautifully decorated with turmeric and kumkum because they were to be offered to Goddess Kali. So Hanuman immediately saw Ram and Lakshman and he fell at their feet and then told them the plans. And so Hanuman said, now I have to go to Himalaya, I have no time. I have to go and blow off the five lamps. And Ram said, no problem. Lakshman will break the diamond and I will shoot the arrow. So with collectiveness, they did this. Hanuman went to Himalaya. Obviously, he tried to blow off the fire, but one fire was turned off, then the fire would come back again. He couldn't do it. There was only 3 minutes left where Mahiravana had to offer Lord Ram to Kali. So Hanuman was in anxiety. So he called. He used his intelligence again. He called for Vayu. And Vayu said, you don't know who I am? He said, yeah, I know who you are. You're my father. And Hanuman Vayu said, yes, I'm also the wind god. He said, wherever the air is, the fire is there. If the air is not there, the fire will not be there. So Vayu immediately disappeared from that place. So he took all the air away. Immediately fire went down. Hanuman, he had a benediction from Brahma. He was able, just by meditating, wherever he wanted to go, he could go. So immediately he went to Mahipur, where Mahiravana was there. And Lakshman was advised by Duratandi where the diamond was. So Lakshman had the diamond ready. And Mahiravana said to Ram to get his head down, to be sacrificed. Ram said, I'm a prince. I don't know how to pay obeisances, but I know everyone pays obeisances, but I don't know how to pay. You have to show me. So Mahiravana said, ah, you're a prince? You don't know even how to pay obeisances? Yeah, you have to show me first. So Mahiravana had his head down. Immediately, Lord Ramachandra took that opportunity. Lakshman took that opportunity, broke the diamond, and Ramachandra shot his arrow and killed Mahiravana on the chest. That's how Mahiravana died. We can see how, in Krishna consciousness, by one's collective endeavor, with great enthusiasm, endeavor, one can achieve the greatest success in spiritual life. One can actually combat a very difficult entity called Maya, or it's impossible to overcome Maya. This is all to do by the help of the devotees and Krishna himself. So whatever opportunity we have in this association, we should try take the association of devotees not out of granted, but take the association of devotees out of gratitude. And that's how we can fight against the great army of Maya. Even though it may be very difficult, but it can be easily achieved. That's why Prabhupada said, impossible is in Fool's Dictionary. The word impossible. It is possible to conquer Maya, but with the help of Krishna and his devotees. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Real quick comments? He was powerful. He was able to withstand the poison of the snakes. He got the benediction from 33 million demigods. So one of the benedictions could be that. Thank you. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.